Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Embrace Fertility podcast. Today, we have another fertility expert interview, and today we have Kevin from The Man Cave joining us. Hello and welcome.
Hello, and thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad we've got this sorted. We met up at the fertility show earlier in the year and have been chatting on Instagram and keeping in touch. So it's really nice to have you on the show and introduce you to my listeners.
Yeah, it's glad to join you. Like you said, we caught up in the fertility show, and it's glad to finally get this going.
Fantastic. So I just give a little introduction about you. So Kevin is the founder of The Man Cave and is a male infertility mental health advocate. From his own personal journey, being told he was infertile 10 years ago, he helps men who suffer in silence by spreading awareness. So would you like to share a little about your journey and how you got into doing this?
Yeah. So like you said, I'm Kevin. I'm founder of The Man Cave. And about 10 years ago, I was in a relationship at the time. We were trying for a baby. After 12 months, nothing's happening. We'd have no joy. So the next stage was to go down the doctors, which I was forced by my girlfriend, because us men are a bit shy to go and get tested. So I went down there, and I had a sperm sample test. I didn't think much of it. And it came back and the results were negative, abnormal, basically. And at the time, I didn't think much of it. I thought it must have been a mistake. I was a bit like naive and that, and didn't take it that serious. A few days later, I had to go down again and do another one, and it was the same outcome. And it was a big shock to the system. And yeah, I had, further on to that, I had to have a retrieval operation, a microtease operation, to see if I could retrieve any sperm. And that was unsuccessful, and I was diagnosed with Sertoli cell only syndrome. And it was an hard time. It was hard to process, and it was a tough old journey. Do you want me to talk some more, or
please do, because we felt if that's
so,
okay.
Yeah, so at that stage then my life was turned upside down. I spoke about it a lot. I turned to drink and drugs to ease the pain. I was in a bad place physically and mentally. And I was lucky enough to meet the woman, Nikki, who I'm proud to call my wife today. And she changed my life. We went on our fertility journey then. We had two rounds of IVF, one round of IVF and one round of ICSI, sorry. And we were unsuccessful with that. And during that process, I decided, because I was on a number of support groups, I decided that I wanted to set something up to help out the other men that were suffering in silence. And that's how The Man Cave came about. And been going for the last 4 years now, where I'm just doing these Insta lives, doing talks, doing walks, wherever I can get the word out to reach to as many people as I can. I think it was 18 months ago, I'd say, me and Nikki decided that enough was enough on our fertility journey, and we decided that we were happy, me, Nikki, and we got a little push on Bear, and we were happy, just the three of us, and the dog was the best thing we could ever do. It brought us closer together, and that's where I'm at, guys, at the minute.
And so with the support that you've been running, talk to us about what that looks like and what support there is. So about 40% of my listeners are male, so it'd be really good to let them know what's out there for them and why you set up that support.
Yeah, like I set up the support initially because it stemmed for me personally, it stemmed from my cousin took his life at a young age, and I just realised like a lot of young men are taking their lives, and I'm really passionate about the suicide rates are so high in men under the age of 50, and I found on the support groups I've been going on, the main one for me is HIM Fertility, the Fertility Network run. I think I do it once a month, and from being on there and doing my Man Cave Insta live chats once a month as well, and people private message me, we all had the same suicidal thoughts, and I just thought enough was enough. So I'm just trying to get the word out there. But you have the Fertility Network that run the the support group on there, Testing, Ian Stones and the guys. They've got the podcasts out as well. They do a lot of stuff. I know Knackered Knacker is another Instagram handle. They've got another podcast out as well. There's a number of things. A great community on Instagram especially. And yeah, I got a Facebook page of the Man Cave as well, which is not private, which I speak openly and people interact with me on there. And there's a number of groups over on Facebook that are private as well. And yeah, it is growing. There's a lot out there for the men compared to 10 years ago where I was in a loose end, you should say.
Yeah, it was very much as when we were going through our journey 10 years ago, and there were a lot of like sort of mainly female forums and chat rooms, and then in person support. But it was seen very much that it was like couples would go along, and generally the ones I went to, it seemed that the female partner would do the talking, and the guys were kind of, you know, she says it's really nice. I think it's really important, I think, to have a shared space, but then to have spaces that are purely male or purely female, that you can talk more, you know, about the physical things you're going through, as well as the emotional that you're happening. What made a difference to you in having other guys going through similar stories, to be able to talk to them about it? How did that impact you?
Oh, massively for me is just you knowing that you're not alone. You're in other people's stories as well. I seek comfort in that. I know that might sound weird to say, but it did. It helped my journey. There was people worse off for me. I shouldn't say that really, but it made the mental struggle for me a little bit easier. There was other people going through the same pain as me. And just hearing other people's stories, but it's so hard for us guys. It takes a lot for us to open up. I have women, and I have a lot of women reach out to me on the Instagram platform and asking me, is there anything I can do for my husband? He won't speak to me. And but I just say hang in there and bear with them and give them the space when they need to, and direct them into my direction, the Man Cave, and like the Testims and the Knackered Knackers. And there's a number of other accounts on Instagram. But it's a battle for us guys to speak up and seek that help out there.
And I think that's the thing, isn't it? If people have, it's obviously a male thing, women can do it as well, but it's like feeling that you can cope on your own and being like, and struggling, and then getting to the point where you can't do it on your own anymore. And that's a big part of why I do the podcast and why I bring on people like yourself to talk about these things, to encourage people to reach out for that support before you really, really need it.
Yeah.
Like I waited until I was really, really struggling. And then, you know, when I hit rock bottom, then started looking for support. Yeah. Whereas it would make so much more sense if I just got the support so much sooner, rather than waiting until that point.
That's exactly what motivates me. I know there's people and young guys leaving these fertility clinics and hospitals where I was leaving 10 years ago, and they've got no support, not a leaflet, a pamphlet, no follow-up call, and it still happens today. Like, and this, do you know what I mean? It shouldn't be happening. It's what motivates me to try and help these guys and try and get the word out there. But yeah, I think it's just finding your feet as well. I feel like I went through all that heartache and all pain and that for the past few years, and I don't want to pass that on to guys who are going through that now. And it is, like I said, finding your feet, your coping mechanisms. I done a lot of running. I still do now. So I took my frustrations out on the road. Podcasts, I listened to podcasts where I could hear and see comfort in other people's stories. And I think for the guys and the women, I think you're just finding your way, trying, joining a group, if it's a walking group or a swimming club or yoga or whatever it may be. Just finding something to ease that pain and get your mind off that fertility journey, I find personally.
It's having that space, isn't it,
to,
you know, if it's something that's on your mind from when you wake up first thing in the morning till, you know, when you're in bed at night, and it's, yeah, finding the things that work for you, and knowing that every person is different. So something that works for one person, or maybe something that's worked for you in the past with a different topic that you've struggled with, might not work for this. So it's like to keep trying different things. Talk to us about, you said that, yeah, running was a big commitment for you, and I know you've done a lot of charity walks. Yeah. Talk to us about those.
Yeah, like I said, I moved from a little village to in the city, really, in Cardiff. And it was the best thing I could do, because at the time when I started out, I was like having a few drinks, and I just wanted to, it was just, I was in a toxic environment. So I took myself out of that and I took up running. And it was the best thing I ever did. I just went out in the night, in the day, rain, sunny. I just wanted to take my mind off what I was going through. At the start of the early journey, the fertility journey, I didn't want to speak out, but like I said, that running help took my mind to a different place, and I felt a much better person for doing that. I don't do them anymore, but I used to do the walks at Penavan in Wales as well. I used to have about six or seven of us take the guys up there, and that'd be good once a month, and walk and talk, I'd call it, as we do it, because you'd be surprised how many of the guys would open up as we were on the journey. Just going, it's only an hour walk at Penavan. And yeah, they used to be pretty good. I'm looking to start them up in the new year again, because a few people have reached out to me about that. But yeah, it's like finding your feet. There is, like I said, whatever they may be. I tried doing swimming and little things like that, but it weren't for me, and it just happened to be running. And yeah, the charity work I done Fertility Network and the mental health charity Mind. I've done half a marathons and 10Ks. Because you've got to have a purpose and a goal, and that was my goal, to just raise that amount of money for those charities. And yeah, I'm looking to do something in the new year now. I'm not too sure yet, but I'd be doing something else.
I guess the thing is, isn't it, once you do one thing and then you finish that challenge, and it's like, well, what's the next one that I'm working towards, and like building up your fitness levels and
I've done a marathon before, but I won't do that again.
yeah, once in a lifetime, tick on that.
100%.
It's interesting you say about walking and talking, because I think sometimes people think that the only way to access support or meet other people going through this is to go to, a Zoom online support group or an in-person support group in a clinical setting. So that's what I went to originally in London, was, in the sort of reception area of one of the big clinics. And it was very much you all sat in a circle and you all shared. And that definitely had its place. And I found that, like, when I first found that, it was really helpful. And then I wanted something a bit more intimate. So I started a support group where we would go to a meditation that was run, by someone else. And then we'd all just go to the pub afterwards and we'd sit at the back. And it was always hilarious because we'd order, like, have a cup of tea, or decaf tea, a peppermint tea, a water, and an orange juice, please. And you could tell the bar person was like, oh, it's obviously an alcohol anonymous group at the back. Like, all right, ladies, like, sort, go up, sit up the back. And then, but it was having that space to just chat and be that you could. And sometimes, you weren't talking about fertility stuff, you were just chatting. But there's something about that, the walking and talking as well, that movement. Because we did some of those, and we just walk, meet up, go for a walk in the woods. And there's something as well, like that movement and just being able to connect and chat. And maybe there's something about not facing someone as well, but being side by side.
I spoke to a number of guys on my journey, and I suffer anxiety on times as well, and people don't like big spaces, groups of people. And I said the dog, the push on, and that was the best thing I ever did, because if I don't fancy the gym or the run, I'll take the dog for a walk for a half hour, and I'll jump on and listen to a podcast of yourself or other people, and just getting my mind off things. But like I said, just getting out there in the fresh air, I find that helps me.
And what other things do you find that, like, really helped you, that you'd recommend other people to, like, say such about, like, walking, like trying to connect in with other people that are going through it? What else helped you?
For me personally, like I said, the running, the podcasts, support groups. The only one I can think of top of my head would be the Fertility Network, the Infertility. But you can be anonymous on it. You can black your screen out, and that was good. But then for me personally, on my journey, I found it tough certain months, because all these guys had hope of having a child, but for me there was no hope really. There was only sperm donor adoption, and on times I'd find it hard. But then you got the option of going anonymous then, so many months I'd jump on and I'd be in the dark, but I'd still be listening and observing and hearing other people's stories. So that helped. Reading's another one. The last 2 years, I really Educated myself and read a lot of books. I found that help. I was just trying to see if I could find one on myself to I read in the past. I got the IVF dad.
Oh yeah,
the
it's
IVF
a
dad and swimming aimlessly is another good one I read in the past year. And yeah, there's a number of books out there. I'm always looking out for a new book, and I love a good read when I go on holiday. So that's what I tend to read them.
And I think that's the kind of the joy as well of reading books of other people's stories, is it's you're getting
Yeah.
that insight in that so many of the emotions and the thoughts that they're going through will be very similar to
Yeah.
what you're going through. So
Yeah.
yeah, it's reading and then being like, oh, like it was Jessica Hepburn's book 21 Miles,
Yeah.
where she's talking about her swimming journey across the Thames. And yeah, it's got a new book out as well. So I'll put links to all these in the show notes. But I think it's like it's fun, like it's reading someone's journal, reading their diary of like their personal insights of things that maybe people don't talk
Yeah.
about, but it's all those feelings.
Yeah, and what I like about these two is just is a men's perspective. Like even if
Yeah.
you don't want to jump on the support group or reach out for help, you could just pick this up off a bookshelf or Amazon. You can be private and read in your own comfort. And there's, like I said, it's from the men's perspective. There's a lot of books out there for the women, but with these two I've picked up here especially, there's you can relate to it, like, because you've been on that
Yeah.
journey yourself. Even if you're starting on your journey or coming to the end or in the middle, wherever you are, it's always good to and I wish I did that before I started my fertility journey, before we went on our IVF journey. Just educating myself on the matter, which I didn't. So yeah, I'm really passionate about getting out to the guys as well. Make sure you do your homework, really.
I know the Fertility Network has got some really good it's got a lot of information there and information sheets as well that you can access for free, hasn't it? So
Yeah.
you can go in and read up and like understand all the medical terms, and I think it's understanding the lingo. So when you go to a clinic, it doesn't you don't feel like they're speaking a completely foreign language if you've
Yeah.
kind of understood the basics. Because obviously the clinic ideally should be talking people through, but a lot of the time that's missed, and people are kind of assuming that people have a certain level of understanding of the procedures and things. So yeah, really good
Because the
advice.
men, I find the men and the stories I've heard, we feel like we left alone in the corner in these clinics. We left alone. We're there to do a sperm sample, and as it, we're not involved that much. Like, so
Yeah.
yeah, if you did your homework and listened and read a little bit more or looked into more details, it would help the journey. But yeah, the clinic should be doing more to get in the men especially involved, like.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's like involving, both sides of the
Yeah.
couple instead of it just feeling like the woman's the one who's like dumping all the information on and saying, oh, this has happened, and on PS you're going to do this. It's
Yeah.
like you're doing it as a team and something together. Something I always recommend to my members of the Embrace Fertility Method is when you're going into appointment, set the intention, like you and your partner spend time before and go, well, what's the point of this appointment? What questions do we want to ask? What outcome are we hoping there's going to be? And write that down so you go in and ensure that every question is answered. Because sometimes you can kind of be rushed through, or maybe you're given information that you weren't expecting and it throws you. And then you get home and you realize, oh, I haven't actually answered, ask all those questions I really wanted the answers to. So have being quite structured. And remembering that you are the patient, you are the client in a lot of cases. And so you can, yeah, ask for the information that you need. And if there's not time in that appointment, then to say, well, could you send me some information afterwards? Or can we have a telephone appointment to carry on to make sure you feel that you're getting that care that you need?
Yeah, and I want to like to touch on counseling as well. I know, especially from the men's perspective, they shy away from it. And I know on our journey, I didn't realize the impact it would have on our mental health. I know, like I said, as men, we feel like we sit in the corner alone, so that would impact us, feeling that we're isolated. And then the woman, and Nikki, and was going through all this treatment then, so she's in a lot of pain as well. And we didn't really talk, and we were offered counting on the NHS, but it was at the time where we couldn't really open up. It sounds silly. She was going through all this and I felt isolated. And yeah, we didn't really, we had one or two sessions, but it weren't for us. But then 12 months down the line, we decided to pay for our own counselling, and it was the best thing we did. We had a number of sessions and we opened up willingly then. It was kind of weird, like, because we were in at the moment on our fertility journey. We felt like we didn't really want to get it off our chest there. I know it sounds silly, but then, like, when we had time to get through the whole process and look back, like I said, 12 months later on, when we decided we were, like, maybe arguing a little bit, getting under each other's feet, we decided to have some counselling, and it was the best thing we did. It just grew us together, and we were better for it.
And I think this thing is finding someone that you can relate to as well. Because 100%. Sometimes if it's like, this is the counsellor that comes with the clinic, and definitely I recommend everyone to take those appointments if they're included. Yeah. All clinics now in the UK need to offer at least one, if not two sessions. Take those sessions, even if you don't feel that they may be beneficial. Use that space, and again, set an intention of what you'd like from that time to go in. But if you're not feeling connected to that counsellor, then look out. There are many people that are working privately in this field, and there are many different options: therapists, counsellors, coaches, who all offer something quite different. So kind of educating yourself as well on what support's available and what you feel you need.
Totally agree on that.
And so talk to us a little bit more about why you feel, in terms of mental health and people getting that support, like you've touched on a little bit about that people can have suicidal thoughts, especially when they're told that, you know, like you said, like losing hope, if they're told that possibly having children is not going to be an option for them, be that through naturally or with the help of treatment. What other advice would you say to someone listening if they're feeling, you know, that they're having any of those thoughts?
Just try to reach out to whoever you can, family, a friend, a work colleague. I think I reached out for the work colleague at the start, and I was surprised to find out that he'd been through the same thing. On an IVF journey. So, yeah, I've opened up in clubs where I've had a beer and I just started crying. And then I just opening up. And it's the hardest thing, genuine now. Before I set up the man cave, I'd have number of weekends on the Saturday with a wife and we were drinking a wine. And I said, I'm going to set this up. And then I basically shit out, basically. I said, oh, no, I can't do it. What people would say this, people would say that. I'd be so worried. And then this one weekend I'd done it, and I'm not lying, the weight off my shoulders was unreal. It was the best feeling ever. And I've been on a number of support groups and spoken to thousands of men, and they've all said, the people who have opened up and done Instagram accounts or Facebook accounts, they've all said the same. They said, why have I been worrying so long? Like, do you know what I mean? Why am I beating myself up where there's other men out there, do you know what I mean? In your family or work life, there's someone around the corner that's been on our journey. But yeah, there's just trying to reach out to someone is the hardest thing. And sometimes the hardest one is your partner. Is open up to your partner, like, do you know what I mean? But yeah, it's just finding someone. And for me at the time, like I said, it was a work colleague that I think I must have had a bad day at work and everything got on top of me. And it's just finding someone to speak to. But and then, like I said, doing your little homework and have a look on Instagram or Facebook, see if there's any accounts out there that are speaking out, like myself and yourself as well. You do a great work in the community as well. And yeah, it's just finding your way, basically. But there is help and there's support out there. So don't feel like you're on your own.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, so many people don't talk about this, and then once you do, I found the same. It's like, once I then started talking about it, people are like, oh yeah, my sister's been through IVF, or I've had two miscarriages, like, oh yeah, so and so. And it's like, because people don't talk about it, and then you can be sat in this, you know, in the same office as someone who's going through it, but it's finding those connections. And that's kind of the joy also of support groups, is if you don't want, you know, if you want to keep you know, everything private, then go into a support group and you can you know, ensure there's that confidentiality and be sharing, but maybe connect with people that you you know, that are going through similar, or that you just connect with, because I didn't have any friends going through it at the time. And I really wanted to talk about specifically the mind-body link and things I could do to support myself. I didn't want to just talk about infertility and IVF. I wanted to talk about the mind-body techniques. And that's why I set up Embrace Fertility, because I wanted that. That was the interest. And so then the women that joined had that interest as well. And so many of us now are, you know, still friends. We stay in touch. We, you know, we meet up throughout the year, because the fertility is what brought us together. But then there were bigger things that connected us. And so those friendships were created. And so it's as well seeing that more can come from this as well. So it's not just by getting that support. It could be, could lead on to friendships and bigger things.
100%. It's weird. I had a conversation today. I'm going off topic a bit by now, but it kind of blew my mind a bit. Basically, I'm in the building trade full time. I'm doing a forklift course this week, 3-day course. And the guy who's instructing me and doing it, we were talking over stuff for now, and we were opening up Tidy. And I just happened to say, like, I couldn't have children. And he said, oh, I can't, like. And I was like, fair play, like, but I didn't want to be rude and ask and delve into, like, why. Like, so we just carried on talking, like, and he's got a girlfriend. He's been with his girlfriend 2 years, and she's got 2 kids. But I was intrigued because the guy was telling me that he had had the SNP prior, his girlfriend. And I was just intrigued, like, I said, how come you had that? And he said, well, I made the decision a while ago. I didn't want children. Now, a part of me, now, I thought, I was impressed with that because he knows what he wants in life. But then a part of me, I felt like, I wish I had that opportunity. Like, I weren't mad, like, but it blew my mind a little bit. But like I said, you come across all these people. And again, I was speaking to someone who come in outside of work, do a course for me. And I'm just shouting at the rooftops these days. So I'm talking to him. And he opened up, like, and he was saying about his mental health. But it was such a nice conversation to have. Like, I just thought I'd share that. That's all.
I think once you become open to sort of diving deeper and sharing, then more opportunities sort of come to you as well. And if people I suppose it's also now that, because you've spoken to so many men, have supported so many people, imagine now when people are speaking to you, the way that you listen and the questions you ask will be very supportive.
Yeah.
Because you've done it so many times, and you're now, you sort of know the way to ask very, you know, gentle questions, but that can encourage people to open up. So yeah, I imagine you'll just be down the pub and people would be like, oh, Kevin's really easy to talk to. I just sort of came out.
He wouldn't shut up, like. Yeah, but this guy in work today was on about, like, he wanted to, like, kind of set something up, mental health stuff, and go on social media, like, and the conversation went off. Like, I was like giving him advice and say, look, this is the best thing you could do. Like, get yourself out there, try and help other people. And like you said, it's surprising who you talk to.
I think that's the joy, isn't it, of Instagram as well, is for the building up communities and having that space where people can share freely and connect. So on that note, can you share so I'm going to put all of your details in the show notes as well, but can you just share with our listeners where they can find you and connect with you?
You got the Instagram and the Twitter account, them and Cave, them underscore and Cave. And I got the Facebook group, but with the Facebook group is a public group, it's not a private group, so be careful what you write down here. You can private message me as well, but I'm pretty open on Facebook. And then I got the website then, themancave.co.uk. But you can find me and contact me on Instagram is the best, because I'm constantly on there and there's a great community and I feel at ease on it. And everyone's supportive, as you know, Naomi. Everyone's champion, everyone, and is a really good community on it.
Fantastic. And is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
I recently set up the M&M show as well on Instagram. So it's a bit of like a loose women, but it's loose men, a bit more sass. So it's me, we got here, Frank Farlin and Mr. Landley from Northern Ireland. And we got a great little chat and we get people on. And it's just getting our conversation out there, letting men know that they're not alone and it's okay not to be okay. And we're talking shit on it, basically. Now we're talking all things fertility and all things mental health, but we have a we have a good laugh, and we with a smile on our face after all the heartache we've been through. So the M&M show is, I hope you guys can follow us and join in the conversation.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, and hopefully everyone has found that insightful and really encourage people listening to, yeah, just reach out, take that step, because it's, yeah, we've both shown that by doing it can lead to great things and great connections and friendships. So thank you so much for coming on today, Kevin.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Really look forward to this.
Thank you, everyone. If you don't yet follow the Embrace Fertility podcast, please subscribe to be the first to know when a new episode comes out. And if you're not yet on my mailing list, join at embracefertility.co.uk to get my latest class replay for free. The last one I ran was Surviving the Holidays, where I talk about different mind-body techniques to see you through the next few weeks. Come and say hi to each of us on Instagram. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.